Good morning, everyone. Good morning. How are y'all doing this morning? The flowers are given this morning by Terry and Sharon Graham for Mother's Day and for Doris's birthday, which is May 11th. Yay! And Fred and Chris Ann, who are not here because they're in Arizona, they're having an anniversary on the 15th. Thank you to all who are participating in the alumni choir. I hear it sounds good. We're going to find out in a minute if that's actually true or not. But it's been a lot of fun. It really has. The cleanup, outdoor cleanup, was moved because of rain from last Saturday to next Saturday. So next Saturday, outside cleanup. There's a list of upcoming concerts in the bulletin. You'll want to read those over. And in honor of Mother's Day, we are having a special coffee hour afterwards. So please stay and be part of that. May 15th, all you that write articles for the Mayflower Notes, May 15th have to be emailed to Meredith. And her email address is actually in there. A Prudential Council coming up next week. The final Heritage class is next week. And the 23rd is music recognition, Sunday school recognition, end of the year picnic. Busy month, busy month. So any other announcements this morning? Ruth. Yes, we sold out last night. Had to put a sold out sign up on the door. We had no chicken left. That was a great way to close out our season. It was great. It was great. Okay, I guess that's everything. Let's enter into worship.
Good morning. Isn't this a beautiful, beautiful day today? Please join me in the call to worship. May all men know that God rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth. I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning. For you have been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you. God is my stronghold, the God who shows me loving kindness. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord, we are here to praise and worship you. In this coming week, grant us strength to worship you in our daily living, to put you first. Help us to seek you and your righteousness. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who came to live and die on the cross, so that we may live as a forgiven people who spend life eternal with you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. The first reading today is from Hebrews 6, verses 10 to 20. By way of giving you some information on what I'm reading, there's a phrase in the reading called the sacred curtains of heaven. The veil, or the curtain, refers to the, in the text, is hung across the entrance from the holy place to the holy of holies, the two innermost chambers of the tabernacle. This curtain prevented anyone from entering, gazing into, or even getting a fleeting glimpse of the interior of the holy of holies. The high priest could enter the Holy of Holies only once a year to stand before God's presence and atone for the sins of an entire nation. But Christ is in God's presence at all times, not just once a year, as the high priest who continually plead for us. Hebrews is another book in our New Testament written by, in this case, an unknown author. Paul is credited, and along with many other people. We join in this letter. For God is not unfair. How can he forget your hard work for him, or forget the way you used to show your love for him and still do by helping his children? And we are anxious that you keep right on loving others as long as life lasts, so that you will get your full reward. Then, knowing what lies ahead for you, you won't become bored with being a Christian, nor become spiritually dull and indifferent. But you will be anxious to follow the example of those who receive all that God has promised them because of their strong faith and patience. For instance, there was God's promise to Abraham. God took an oath in his own name, since there was no one greater to swear by, that he would bless Abraham again and again and give him a son, make him the father of a great nation of people. Then Abraham waited patiently until finally God gave him the son Isaac, just as he had promised. When a man takes an oath, he is calling upon someone greater than himself to force him to do what he has promised, or to punish him if he later refuses to do it. The oath ends all argument about it. God also bound himself with an oath so that those he promised to help would be perfectly sure and never need to wonder whether he might change his plans. He has given us both his promise and his oath. Two things we can completely count on, for it is impossible for God to tell a lie. Now all those who flee to him, save them, can take new courage when they hear such assurances from God. Now they can know without doubt that he will give them the salvation he has promised them. This certain hope of being saved is as strong and trustworthy an anchor for our souls, connecting us with God himself behind the sacred curtains of heaven, where Christ has gone ahead to plead for us from his position as our high priest with the honor and rank of Melchizedek. May God add his blessings.
Thank you. to the middle, you guys. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Wasn't that lovely? Go ahead and have a seat here. Have a seat. Dominic, come on over here with everybody so that they can all stare at you together. Come on. Slide over. Slide.
Check mine all the time for the batteries. We never check that one.
It's because he knows I can go without it. Okay, so I want to tell you a story today about a young man whose name is Owen. Okay? Owen, that's not a name you hear very much anymore, is it? But is it your middle name? Really? Wow, isn't that a coincidence? So your initials spell D-O-M, so your nickname and your initials spell your nickname. Isn't that something? Dom and Dom. Okay. Good thing your last name wasn't Gordon. Sorry. Couldn't resist. Okay, so anyways, I read this story, and some of you may have seen this story this week, so if you did, don't give away the ending, okay? So I read this story about this young man named Owen, and Owen's in college, and he's a sophomore. That means he's in his second year of college, and he goes to a little college, and I think it was in Illinois or somewhere like that. Just a small little college, not very big, and you know, like how we have a lot of little colleges here in Michigan, and those, yeah, but I'm thinking even more. Central Michigan's getting pretty big, but maybe like Lake Superior State and Grand Valley University. And those schools are kind of small, and they still have some sports programs, but they're pretty small sports programs, right? And anyways, Owen plays golf for his college, and it's a pretty small college, and they had their tournament last weekend. And I guess the way college golf works, there's going to be a test, so listen. College golf works is that every little conference that they have, like we have the Big Ten where Michigan State plays, every conference gets to send the conference championship to the college national golf tournaments. And then the best golfer that wins the tournament also gets to go. So there's a team, the best team, and there's the best individual golfer, okay? So Owen was playing in this tournament last weekend, and his school had already won the best team event. So he was playing to win the individual spot to go. Okay, and it came down to the 18th hole, and he was tied in a dead heat with another young man who was happened to be a senior. And you know what Owen did? He got up there on the 18th hole and he lined up his tee shot, and he looked around. And he sliced that thing 40 feet off into the woods, deliberately. And when they asked him why, so he lost the tournament, came in second. When they asked him why later, because it was apparent to everybody that he did it on purpose, he said, I already have a chance to go to the Nationals. My team is going to go. And this other guy, it's his senior year, and he's a good guy, and he's never had a chance to go. And I thought, why not let him go? Two. And on this Mother's Day, I bet Owen's mom is pretty proud of the son that she raised because he saw an opportunity to do something nice for someone else, for no glory, for no recognition, just to give another player a chance to go play in the national tournament, the kind of thing you really don't get to do a whole lot in your life. And he instead of thinking of himself and the trophy and the prize and the glory and his name in the local newspaper and all that, he sent his ball spinning off to the side. I guess he didn't know that he would be an internet sensation, or he didn't think about that. So I guess that goodness does sometimes get its own reward. But I bet Owen's mom is really proud of him on this Mother's Day, because as a parent, you don't always know that you're doing the right thing, that you're raising the right way. You try and you say the things and you try to give the lessons, but it's not often you get a chance to see in the one shining moment that you really did get the right message across. And so on this Mother's Day, we're going to give out some roses because not all the mothers get a chance to publicly stand up and say how wonderful their kids are. And the kids don't always get a chance to stand up and say how wonderful their moms are. So we're going to take this time today to stand in. If you guys can, you four kids can stand in, and we're going to recognize all the moms. So if you can all just be patient with us while we pass out your flowers, and happy Mother's Day, and God bless all of us today.
Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. Now, we're having a really special coffee hour. I cooked. Yeah, look at the shock on everybody's face. You didn't know I could do that, did you? My wife didn't know I could do it. She put it on Facebook. I get to watch my husband cook. Well, she was supervising, make sure it came out okay. But she even made me go to the store and buy stuff. When we go to the store, we shop together, and I push the cart, and then she throws stuff in the cart. Unless she missed something good, then I put it in the cart. She made me pull all the ingredients off the shelf myself. So she wouldn't even put them in the cart for me. So I chose the recipe. Giving, giving. Don't worry about material things, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, we live, especially in our culture, we live in a culture that sometimes we're just really torn about things and having things, and sometimes having things is kind of who we are. And then the kingdom of God, and then we hit the recession we've been in for a while, and things happen. But if we'll get our priorities right, God first, us second. See, not us first and God down the list wherever we have time for God. God first, us second, God promises, because that would be in red in your Bible, God promises, I'll take care of all the material things. You seek my kingdom, you seek my righteousness, I'll take care of everything else. I'm sorry, I thought we were done. There we go. Okay. So with that thought in mind, and the picture of the red roses, let's worship God with our giving. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to not only celebrate Mother's Day, but celebrate being here and being able to worship you and all that you do for us also. Thank you for all that you do. Receive these gifts, I pray. Bless them, that everybody that's given joyfully unto you, will it'll be returned unto them according to your word. There'll be abundance left over to meet all the needs of the church and to spread your word throughout this community. In Jesus' name, amen. Our second readings in the book of Ruth. Start in chapter 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman with whose maids you were? Behold, the winnowed barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man till he has finished eating and drinking. It shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you'll go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do." And she said to her, "All that you said, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. It happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "May you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than your first by not going after young men, whether rich or poor. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask, for all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence." What a great story this has been. Great short story. And now we see that Ruth's commitment, chapter 1, Ruth's commitment. After Naomi said, "I've lost everything, it's God's fault, go back to your culture, go back to your people, I'm going home to Bethlehem." And Ruth said, no, I'm committed to this, even though Ruth had lost a lot too. I mean, she had lost her husband. So she had lost a lot, but she committed herself to God through service to Naomi. And for the last several weeks or couple of months, she's been going out and gleaning behind the reapers and gleaning food, getting what's left over, so that her and Naomi could eat and survive. Through all of this, Naomi's been in this depression. You know, God has done terrible things to me. My life is over. Blah, 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 blah. You know how you get when you're in depression. Yeah. Oh, me, oh, me, oh, me, oh, me, oh, me, oh, me, oh, me. But somewhere through all of this, a spark of hope reunites in Naomi. That's what we see in chapter 3. Hope awakened. A spark of hope in the midst of her depression. And what's the first thing she says? "Shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" You want to beat depression? There it is, right there. Get outside of yourself. Get outside of yourself. Yeah, depression looks inward. Oh me, life has been terrible to me. God has been bad to me. My wife has been bad to me. Say, you want to beat depression, look outside of yourself. Look to God. Look outside. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? So this hope, Naomi says, you know, maybe life's not over. Maybe there's light at the end of the tunnel. After all, Ruth had just happened to fall into the fields of Boaz, and Boaz just happens to be a kinsman redeemer. Under Jewish law, a close relative could come along if somebody fell into poverty and had to sell their land or sell themselves. A close redeemer could come along and redeem them and buy them back. Beautiful picture, of course, of what Jesus did for us. We were lost, we were undone, we were without hope, and Jesus came, lived, died, rose again to purchase us back because we could not buy ourselves back. And Naomi's saying, you know, Boaz is a close redeemer, a kinsman redeemer, close relative. Oh, I got a plan. See, out of hope comes a plan. Maybe all's not lost. I got a plan. Oh, we're throwing a celebration. The harvest is in. They're celebrating tonight. The party is on. Put on your best clothes. Except at the end of the party, women didn't stay at the end of the party. At the end of the party, don't go home. Boaz and some of the guys are going to stay there, take care of what needs to be taken care of, sleep there. Notice where Boaz is sleeping, and then after he's asleep, go lay down, uncover his feet, lay at his feet. And when he wakes up, he'll tell you what to do. So she did that. And Boaz wakes up in the middle of the night, a little dark, no night lights back then, a little dark, but he can tell there's a woman laying at his feet. There's not supposed to be any women here. All the women are supposed to go home. And she says, he says, who are you? I'm Ruth. Throw the end of your cover of your blanket over on me. A play on words here. That word cover is the same word as wings. Cover of your blanket, wings of the Lord. See, God throws his wings over us to protect us, take care of us, provide for us. Throughout, especially the New Testament, it's talked about us being married to God. We're his bride. And God takes care of us. He throws the cover of his wings over on us. One of the Psalms, Psalms 91, talks about the same thing, where he covers us with the feathers of his wings, protects us, like a mother hen protects her chicks. Have you ever been to a farm? Don't be messing with the mother hen when she's got chicks around. Yeah. You know how you women get protecting your kids. Yeah, it seems to be animal world, human world, seems to be about the same. You know, don't get between a mother bear and her cubs. You are in serious trouble. So that's that same play. Throw the cover of your blanket over on me. In other words, I'm available if you want to redeem us. I'm available to marry you. You can protect us. You can take care of us. I'm available. And Boaz says, good for you. Good for you. You didn't go after the hot guys. Okay? I do marriage counseling. I do pre-marriage counseling. Why do you want to marry her? Because she's hot. This is the number one reason on the list for dating anybody, which they don't really date in our culture anymore, for dating, for marrying. But number one reason is hot. That's the number one reason, bar none. Okay. Yeah, that's it. And we wonder why the divorce rate is 51%. I'm thinking maybe priorities are just out of, I mean, hot's important, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I mean, I'm married to a trophy wife, I understand that. Okay. Yeah, I understand hot. Okay. However, it might need to be down the list one or two or three pegs. She maybe shouldn't be top of the list. Okay. Yeah. And Boaz says, good for you. I'll do it. I'll do it. Whatever you say, I'll do. The part I didn't read, that's going to lead us into next week, the part I did not read. Oh, by the way, I forgot. Yeah, there's a relative closer to redeem you than me. He has the first right of redemption. So, either way, don't worry about it, Ruth. Either way, he'll redeem you. If he don't redeem you, then I'll redeem you. Now, I don't know how that left her thinking the rest of the night. You know? Because she kind of got to know this guy. He's one of the good guys. I mean, Boaz is one of the good guys. There are good guys left, right? Yeah, same response as I got it last week. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe there aren't no good guys left. I don't know. Yeah, see, there's a few good guys left out there. And Boaz is one of the good guys. He's been taking care of Ruth kind of behind the scenes. And Naomi kind of behind the scenes. He's told them, you just come in my fields. Don't go anywhere else. You're safe in my fields. I'll take care of you in my fields. And told the harvesters, throw a little grain out there. If you notice her behind you, leave a little extra grain out there because she's feeding too. So you got to take care of Naomi. We don't want these girls to starve during the harvest. And then all of a sudden he says, yeah, I'll do whatever you say, except maybe I can't. But either way, you're going to be taken care of. Now, yes, this is a culture where they didn't marry for love. They contract marriages are very common in this day and age. So I don't know what that did to her. What would that do to you? She's covered, but not necessarily the way she was thinking.
She don't know. She's in suspense. God ever leave you in suspense? God ever say to you, yeah, I'll take care of that, no problem. And then do it a way different than you thought He was going to do it? I don't know about you, it happens to me all the time. I mean, I usually go to God with a good plan. I don't just usually go to God with a shopping list. Okay? I usually figure out my shopping list. Okay, I need this and this and this. And God, here's exactly what I think you ought to do. But yeah, I don't want to worry Him. He's got a whole universe to run. See, so I just figure the plan out for Him. He don't have to think about it. Just wave His magic wand and there it is. Poof. But God doesn't always like my plans. Hey, oh, no problem, Rick. I'll take care of you. No problem. However, it may not go the way you want it to go. Excuse me, I don't like surprises. I like routine. I like doing the same thing every day. Get up, go golfing, take care of the minor things of life like ministry. Say, yeah. Kidding, I'm kidding. Oh. People take things so seriously. Hebrews 6. I picked Hebrews 6. I picked that verse. Oh. See. Yeah, routine. But every now and then God says, well, we're just, you know, that's a really great plan, but we're not going to use it this time. We're going to do things this way this time. And that's kind of where Ruth is caught. I don't know if she slept the rest of the night. She laid back down. They slept till before the sun came up. Then they got up. Boaz gave her kind of a guarantee of what he had said in barley. Sent her home before anybody knows there's a woman on the threshing floor because that's bad. And he's a good guy. So she had to wait the rest of that night. She had to wait all next day. We'll find out next week what happened. That's what we're going to find out next happened. Suspense. See, now you got to come back. That's what they do on soap operas. They give you suspense. No, there's no suspense on soap operas. They're the same old thing, week after week after week. Not that I would know because I don't watch them. But what will Boaz do? What will God do? Whatever God does in our life, our way, His way, some other plan we never thought of, whatever God does in our life for us is right. It's the right way. Not our way necessarily, even most of the time not our way. But He will throw the cover of His wings over on us and take care of us and protect us, provide for us, shield us. He loves us. See, He loves us so much that when we were sinners, when we were His enemies, when we were without hope, at the proper time, Christ came and lived and died for us. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Now that we're alive in Him, does He love us less? Does He love us less? No. And so if we can relax, trust God, let Him do things His way, some good things are going to happen. Good things are going to happen. So, until chapter 4 next week, that's your homework, chapter 4 next week, last of the book. If you haven't taken time to read the book of Ruth, you really should. We are just skimming, guys, we're just skimming. You know, I don't know how long it would take me to preach through the book of Ruth and hit every point in there that I could think of, and then I'd probably miss some. So, if you want a really good short read, the book of Ruth. 4 chapters, it's good stuff. Chapter 4 for next week, we'll find out what happens to Ruth. Okay. Maybe it's not that suspenseful. Okay. Joys and concerns. It's a joy to have you all here. Thank you for coming.
It's nice to see once the choir got out here. It's a little sparse before the choir got back out here. But I tell you, those three pews up there were about full. That must have looked pretty good, I would think. Yeah, Warren liked it. Roger.
Well, actually, I guess this is a joy and an announcement. The joy is that we were given two large pots for plantings, annual plantings, to use outdoors this spring and summer to enhance the church, which you'll all come and help do next Saturday morning, I assume. And we need some potting soil because these are huge pots. And so if anybody has any extra potting soil around, please bring it in and drop it off. We'll put it to good use.
Okay.
It was a joy to have everybody up in the choir. My mom was back, and our own pastor was there, and, you know, several people that we haven't seen for a long time. So we're so thankful for that. But in a special joy, our prayers have been answered for our son-in-law, Christopher. Okay. He's back from Iraq, from being there almost a year. So thank you all for your prayers for Chris and Jackie and their whole troop.
I'm thinking Jackie's happy.
Yeah. Oh, God is so good.
I just want to say a great big thank you to all of you who have helped all year with the Second Saturday Suppers. Thank you very much. I think it's quite amazing. I said to my husband this morning, isn't that something that a small church like this can put on a big meal like that every month?
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody.
Amen. Amen.
So we get a short break till September. And if you haven't been involved in like the Saturday Night Suppers or something like that, it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. It really is. It's just a lot of fun. So,
hi. I didn't know you were back
here.
Well,
I snuck up, but I have a concern. Mary's mother-in-law, Barbara Rutledge, came home from Florida this week, and she had been having pain in her shoulder that the doctors had been unable to determine what it was for the last couple months. She had an MRI on Friday. And the doctor called and told that Mary to take her to the emergency room immediately. And the end of the bone in her shoulder had dissolved and the tendons had detached. And they're trying to get a diagnosis on what caused it. But obviously, whatever it is, it can't be good. So if you could keep Barb in your prayers and Mary and Mike. Mike lost his dad a few years ago. And so, this is a really rough time for him. So.
Okay. We'll be praying for them. Yeah, that sounds a little serious.
I've been telling you about Kate, our daughter. The last installment is she's coming home. If any of you have any projects that you'd like help with, she's ready and willing to do them. She loves to organize. She's a great worker. So feel free and don't think any project isn't too good for her. She'll do it.
Okay.
Wait, do we know when she's coming home? So, we will be praying. Bruce.
On our list is Peggy Shahada, and she'd like to thank you for her prayers. She had her test last week, and her cancer's in remission. So.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
She called me last week. She was really happy. But we'd like to add a name. There's a young man by the name of Alex Powell. He's 17 years old, and he has cancer of the back and of the heart.
Oh.
Both of them have been operated on, and he's in chemo now. And it's a four-day event, his chemo, and they had to hospitalize him because his heart rate went up so high. So he needs a lot of prayers. A good young man, local man from Okemos. And the last thing is Lucille Veelin is now under the care of hospice. She's still over at Ingham Regional, but she's under the care of hospice now. Thank you.
She was yesterday. Barb and I stopped up yesterday and saw her, and, she was talking, and it didn't drift off because sometimes she drifts off into sleep the whole time we were there. Yeah,
that board out there? Okay. My wife asking for a microphone, I would be in shock. Oh. Okay. That was just funny. My wife is a very, I mean, you're getting to know her a little bit. It takes a while, doesn't it? She's a very behind-the-scenes type person. But very supportive and very wonderful. But I don't think she'd be asking for the mic. Let's pray. Father, thank you. You are so good, so good. And do so much. If we just take a couple minutes here about the joys of what you're doing and touching and healing and bringing people through things. And it's just such a blessing. You take such good care of us. And therefore, we just lift all these other prayer requests, the ones that have been made, the ones in our hearts, to you, that you would intercede, that you would bring things to pass according to your perfect will in each and every life. We don't know what that is, but you do. So we just pray your will be done. Touch, encourage, heal, bless, strengthen, protect, whatever they need, that you will do that for them, that Jesus can be glorified in them also. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for wanting an intimate relationship with us. Thank you for teaching us to communicate with you through prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.